So welcome everybody to our conference call. So first of all, apart from welcoming all of you, I would like to welcome also Jörg Peters, our new head of investor relations at Amadeus Fire. And there's a certain correlation that we just started to follow our quarterly results by doing this conference call. So you can expect that also in the future from now on, that we will host this event and will let you know the latest developments or inform you about the latest developments of Amadeus Fire. And also, if there are any questions apart from that certain point in time, feel free to contact Jörg anytime and you will receive a profound and professional answer because he is really an experienced investor relations guy. So let's jump in our current results. Just have to find out how to click the slides here. First picture, current revenue overview and the latest developments. Just a few comments here. I want to remark that in the meantime, 38% of our revenues are delivered by our training segment. So that increased over the last year significantly and already 44% of gross profit. And in the staffing segment, I want to focus also your attention on that in the meantime of the net fees or gross profits in the staffing segment. More than half of it, 31% of overall gross profits derived from permanent placement. So the largest service in the meantime of our staffing segment. The business in the third quarter was actually influenced by the economic development we saw overall. It was less favorable than we actually forecasted it. So we saw in the end some pressure on revenues. Print revenues are in third quarter down 2.7%, actually at 111.6 million for Q3. And what we saw in Germany over the recent months was a growing pessimism. And that was followed by a certain hesitancy in placing orders, especially in the personal services segment and the staffing segment, which in the end impacted group's result in the third quarter. Our operating EBITA was down 18.8% from 21.6 million to 17.6 million for the third quarter. If you have a look at the nine-month figures accumulated for the year, we still see a profitable growth path we are on. Our revenues increased the first 9 months by 2% to 337.7 million. Throughout our business, we saw some differentiated developments, and this is where I will guide you through the following pages in the staffing and in the training segment for Q3 and the first 9 months. In the training segment overall, the picture is that we reached our targets. We are on a nice growth path here, and a very different picture actually in the personal services segment. We did not meet our expectations and had in the end to lower our guidance also what you saw last week because of the latest developments here. Overall also the EBITA is affected by the pressure we see on staffing net fees, but also is affected by increasing personal and IT expenses. Little different picture throughout the segments, but overall we saw some increases in the sales and administrative OPEX, also because we invested in digital transformation and in our applications to run our business and new technology. So, given that overview, let me guide you first through the staffing or personal services segment of our business. First, on the left side of that slide, you see the development of the different services. One remark I want to state upfront is what I discussed with a couple of you over the last years. For me, clearly, the labor market in Germany or the scarcity of qualifications for us in the services segment, personal services segment, is the main driver. So if you have a look at 2023, the four different quarters, you do see a steady growth in permanent placement of in double-digit figures throughout a year of recession. This is something what historically you never saw in the personal services segment. And this is because the main driver for us became the labor market or the scarcity of personnel here in Germany. But the historic main driver, the cycle for staffing, is not fully out of the game, obviously, but in third place, in second place. Now, as we are in a no-growth scenario in Germany since third quarter of 2023, 2021, meaning we are now in the, what is it, 14th quarter in a row of 0 point something growth or degrowth in Germany. This is actually affecting our business, especially because the climate throughout the corporations or the expectations they do have for future business is at a very low level in Germany currently. So you see throughout this year that we saw a decline in staffing and permanent placement, countered by a nice growth in interim project management. Unfortunately, smallest of the three services, this I have to state this year, but an acceleration actually on a quarter-by-quarter comparison in third quarter, which after more a positive development first to second quarter is something which in our planning we did not anticipate at the middle of the year. In temporary staffing, we saw a decline of 11%, volume-driven. We have a price increase here in that service still. So the underlying wages are inflating still in Germany, and the hourly charge rate is increasing, but the volumes are actually down. And that, as you can see, accelerated in third quarter compared to the first half year. Permanent placement, a little bit of a similar development. Here, the willingness to execute final decisions on placing people is limited throughout the corporations, and you also see a hesitation of candidates in the change willingness of them. This ends up in a lower conversion rate of inquiries into orders. Nevertheless, the shortage of qualified personnel remains a key factor, but the pressure here on the sourcing side, as you can imagine, is not that severe as what we saw the last years because of the overall environment. In interim project management, here the dependency on the economic cycle is a little less in an environment of change, and this is also the case in a downturn. you will find certain project work or interim work at the corporations. So here we are able to grow throughout all services. I would say still in the market environment, we are able to gain market shares. The overall picture for third quarter in revenues is a 9% decrease and a close to 12% decrease in gross profit. This is at a higher level than what we saw in the first half year. So, as I said, the conditions did not improve but worsened Q2 compared to Q3. Nevertheless, the decline, it's hard to state that in a situation like that, but is within an acceptable range from our point of view, because if you do some crossreads and a benchmark throughout the industry, we are still at a level where we gain market shares, and we are still a very profitable company, delivering a high EBITDA margin, probably best in class in the industry. Also, regard profitability, there was no acceleration in the decline of our operating EBITDA in third quarter compared to the first half year. And this is because in the meantime, we over the last quarters, we put in a strict cost measurement. And also, we reduced headcount within the branch office organization. So year on year, we are around 5%, at a 5% lower level end of September of our sales consultants visiting the clients. For the first 9 months, the picture is basically the same. Net fees or gross profit are down 7%, better than market, but still a decline. The sales organization, what it said, was expanded till middle of last year. Then we stopped that expansion path. It is reduced in headcount, but structurally, we keep the organization intact. So we do not fill single positions, but the structure of teams and branch offices, we will keep to be able to take part in an improving market situation, which we expect actually somewhere, not this year, clearly. Maybe you will ask in the Q&A when that will be exactly. And I can already state we don't know. We would like to. We have some positive indicators by some institutions for the next year, but the visibility is really low at the current level. So the personal costs were in September, first time below prior year's level. So volume is decreasing. We have some wage inflation also within our internal staff. But from September on, also forward for fourth quarter, we see here our OPEX at a lower level in terms of personnel expenditure. In both segments, our investments in technology, in IT, continues. We are here in some, value-driving projects, which secures future growth, which we will continue. So this is basically the picture I wanted to draw for our staffing segment. Under pressure market-wise, but still at a comparably high level, high profitability level compared to industry average, also in the white-collar niche. And we do prepare ourselves to participate in an improving market situation somewhere in the future. So this will lead us to our training segment. Here we are still in a growth environment. In the third quarter, we saw a 10% top line growth. The good path we brought the whole segment on last year continues also in the current year. We have one little downturn, I would call, which is not severe, but some change in regulatory. In the terms and conditions we have for operating on the search engine of the government or the labor agencies, where future participants do find course offerings, they did a limitation in the overall number of postings a training company is allowed to publish. As we were very visible, let's put it that way here, we had to limit our publications, and this is affecting the number of requests we receive. This is in case since May. We are growing here, so this is nothing which will in the long run limit ourselves, but we are limited now in this channel and cannot expand our offering as we would actually like to. It's a regulatory move, so nothing we can do about that. We have a positive development ongoing in our B2C business. Here, more because of the annual training calendar we have, we see a more favorable fourth quarter than third quarter compared to last year. So we expect here improving business. Just the opposite in B2B. Clearly, the smallest part of our training segment, below 5%. But here, the cyclical market is affecting our business, which is not the case in B2G and B2C. So here, we are not affected by a downturn. But in the B2B market, we are, and we see a declining sales, and we also expect that for fourth quarter. The gross profit is affected by increasing lecturer fees, what we see. And the operating result is also affected because of some very intense initiatives we did throughout the third quarter in some IT projects we are running, which are where we use the good times we are in training to prepare ourselves to improve the way how we proceed our trainings. We developed here a new content factory, for example, where we use technology to actually produce better content for our classes. And these are some activities we had throughout the third quarter, very intense. For the picture of the first 9 months, we see a 13.6% sales increase, a nice increase also in gross profit and operating EBITDA. And this growth is delivered from all our brands, the Text College, GFN, and COMCAVE. The mix of sales you see on that slide. Overall, we are on a 10% growth path in operating EBITDA, which is affected, actually, what I just explained by our digital transformation we are in and investments in information technology, but also by a growing training organization, so investments in people. So let me just give you a few remarks on our business model strategy and the outlook. Here I will not touch every single detail, but I think the overall picture here, if you have a closer look at that slide, gives you an idea that the value drivers for our business model as well in staffing and training in the midterm or long term, from our point of view, is still very positive. We have a very solid position in a very regulated market with market entry barriers, which are very high. The shortage of qualification drives both segments, and the shortage will increase because of the demographic development we see in Germany. And the Amadeus Fire Group itself is very well positioned within that picture overall. For us, in the end, what is most important is reputation. And maybe if you have some time, you can do some cross-reads on Kununu and see how Amadeus Fire... Kununu is a German glass door, if someone is not familiar with. And here, the picture of Amadeus Fire as an employer is, in our industry and in Germany, actually best in class. Strategy, the pillars are unchanged. So what we do is to be actually the best marketplace you can find for the human resource services in the commercial and IT qualifications. And we do our business in a kind of a triangle in between excellence and speed, and that's delivering a high reputation. We establish long partnerships with some measures we take, you will find on that slide. And the steady expansion path over many years is how we back up our development, and this very successful now for many years. In the end, delivering the highest or one of the highest operating margins you will find in the industry in both sectors. One additional remark in staffing, we are actually on a organic growth strategy. In training, we would also like to see some acquisitional growth in the upcoming years, and we also increased our activities here over the last months. The training segment will be strengthened by a new board member starting 1st of November, Monika Wiederholt. For some more detailed information on Monika, there's a press release, and we also put some information in the current release of the quarterly 9-month results just published. So our outlook in the staffing segment, we will not reach our targets. We are missing our targets. So what we see is new guidance here that revenues will decline to 270 to 278 million, and we will see here an operating margin of 13% to 14%, which is in the end not that performative conversion of gross profit in operating results than what we see in normal times, not in good times, but in normal times. In training segment, actually, we are within our targets. We do see a good year. We will probably enter also a good year 2025 with a solid or strong fourth quarter. The picture throughout the different markets we are operating in is in all markets as expected, including the shortfall we see in B2B business. This is expected, and due to the size of the market, the even worse sentiment in Germany is not really affecting the training segment overall. So in the end here, we will see in that quarter a record level of revenues and also a record result. This is what we forecast. Overall, we decreased our guidance to what we said in the publication to 58 million that year of operating EBITA, following 70 million we saw last year. So initially, we expected actually a growth in 2024, but now we see a decline to 58 for the full year. One last slide. A couple of you do know that milestones we published, what we saw as next goals for our organization. This is still the case, but the timing we initially put on that expectations that throughout a five-year period of time ending 2026, we can achieve step by step these three goals. Given the current situation, we do not see, especially the 100 million of operating EBITA, is something we are still working on to achieve. But in 25 or 26, given the current level, we do not expect to achieve that goal. And actually, we will come up beginning of next year, probably following the Q1 results, with some more detailed guidance also for the upcoming years. Maybe the visibility on the overall economic environment is better at that point in time. So, I would like to end my information overview here, and happy to answer your questions now. So please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question from the webinar may click the Q&A button on the left side of your screen and then click the Raise Your Hand button. If you are connected via phone, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press the Lower Your Hand button from the webinar or press star and two on your telephone. Anyone who has a question may queue up now. One moment for the first question, please. And the first question comes from Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me well. I have a couple of questions. The first is on the temp business. In a situation like this, which is characterized by higher economic uncertainty, at least in the past, the temp business was more robust. Robert, maybe you could elaborate on what you see in the market, why there is also a decline in this business line. Is there overcapacity on the client side? That's my first question. The second is on you taking advantage of attrition within the organization. So you have 6% less people in the subsidiaries, if I read correctly. Which roles are affected in particular? Is it commission-carrying roles or all roles within the sales structure? That was my second question. The third is related to the changes in the search portal of the Bundesagentur, the Federal Employment Agency. You said that you do not expect meaningful changes due to the amendments to the search portal. If I look at the COMCAVE revenue in Q3, it seems like it was flattish, whereas GFN accelerated its growth. Are those effects of the changes? And my fourth question is related to the digitalization projects. For how long will the projects in both segments proceed? Do you have any specific timelines here when the projects are planned to be completed? Thank you.
Thanks, Andreas, for that four questions. I will try to answer one by the other. First, the consideration of temporary staffing being more robust in a cyclical situation than permanent placement. Historically, absolutely correct, that was the case. I do think that this changed in line with the overall change that the staffing market in Germany is driven in the first place by shortage and scarcity, and in the second place by cycles. So the shortfall in demand historically was actually severe in permanent placement and in white collar temporary staffing, more soft and late cycle. Now we see more a parallelity in terms of demand of corporations for temp and perm services. So the shortfall in demand, which started, by the end of last year and accelerated throughout the year, and now at the highest level in Q3, that was actually taking part in both services, permanent placement and temporary staffing, parallelly. And we do not find a kind of a compensation of perm requests replaced by temporary requests, at least not on a larger scale, what we saw in the past of a comparable qualification level. So here, from our point of view, the dynamics changed, and the behavior of corporations regarding that to services is not different, actually, like in the past, but more parallel as of today. Your second question was on the development of our sales organization. Here it is, important to know that we basically have three different roles within the branch office organization in the staffing sector. And that three roles are the sales consultant, the recruiter, and some back office positions. And the decrease you mentioned throughout that branch office organization is affecting more or less at the same level all three different roles we have. So it's not that the decline is over proportionally in sales or in recruiting roles. Your third question was regarding the effect on Comcave sales due to the change in the terms and conditions. Yes, they are affected, and they are more affected than GFN by the decline in demand or requests we received through that channel, because the offering was higher. Comcave is offering commercial and IT qualifications. GFN is offering just IT qualifications. So the product portfolio is broader, and therefore the limitation was just at a minor effect affecting the GFN offering, and to a larger effect the Comcave offering. But to a certain extent, so we will see the upcoming quarters how the sales development will be, and Comcave will be able, if we do a good job, let's put it that way, to participate also in the market growth. Last question, IT projects. Some of the minor ones are just affecting a few quarters, as you might imagine. The overall change process we started already in 2022, where we decided some transformations. And here we are actually in the middle of it. And in this, and this is affecting the whole architecture infrastructure, how we run the overall group systems, cloud readiness, and also the operating applications for both segments. And as long as you're in a transition like that, building new apps, building up a new infrastructure, you have a kind of a double layer, because you have to run your existing systems, applications, and you have to build the new applications and the new infrastructure. So actually, we are in the middle of the parallel run and build phase. All about infrastructure, etc., is almost done. So this will be completed more or less by the end of the year. And the business applications are in the middle of the process of developing them in at different stages. We will see the first go live steps beginning of next year, but this will last till 2026. So in this year and next year we are in kind of a peak level, because we have the run and the build parallelly, and then we will probably even have some relief in terms of OPEX for IT.
Thank you.
Hope that answered all your questions. Otherwise, let me know.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from Lukas Spang from Tigris Capital GmbH. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I would like to follow on the training segment. If I take the midpoint of your revenue guidance, it seems that you just expect a flat revenue growth in Q4. So can you elaborate a little bit on that after that good growth in Q3? Let's do the questions one by one.
Okay. First questions. Overall, I have to clearly state that given the environment we found ourselves in third quarter, we anticipated a similar or worse situation in fourth quarter, and also tried to do a little bit of a very solid or cautious guidance. So in the training segment, we will see, but here you have some calendar effects also, which you have to bear in mind. So kind of a seasonality, because basically the last 2 weeks in December, there will be no trainings. And training is also charged by the hour. So you have less training time simply. This is the case throughout all markets. So if you compare third and fourth quarter, and you are on the same business level, you will have less revenues in fourth quarter than third quarter.
Yes, sure. But if I take quarter four this year with compared to quarter four 2023, there seems to be in the midpoint of your full year revenue guidance in the training segment no growth. So I was just wondering why growth will go down from 10% to zero in the midpoint year over year.
If you look, actually, if you look a little bit more in detail at the calendar this year, how the last two December weeks develop, you will see that last year we had kind of a business situation there, and this year all the days are in the middle of the week. So you have in the one-on-one comparison, you have simply less time available plus cautious planning.
Okay. Then on the cost side, you already mentioned the cost measures you have, let's say, implemented for or from September onwards. Is this also the cost base you go into 2025, or are you going to take more cost measures to, let's say, be more flexible for 2025?
Now, Lucas, we are in the middle of our planning, so I cannot actually state in detail on that. But looking at the staffing segment, basically 80% of our OPEX is staff related, and we will not do a severe cut. So what we see now in September, we did not start the measures, but September was the first month where the OPEX for personnel was below prior year's level, and this will continue. But we will, if you compare then again, I don't know, Q4 and Q1 next year, if we finish our planning, it will not be that we will be on a complete different size of organization in this quarter to quarter comparison. But the cautious replacement of new vacancies will continue. So if someone is leaving Amadeus Fire Staffing Organization currently, we closely monitor whether this specific team is in a good or in a not that good business situation, and then we will replace or we will not. So the tendency will head by head slight decline month by month, but no structural change in the overall organization.
Okay. And if we look into 2025 on a, let's say, qualitative basis for the two segments, I know it's early and it's a very different environment currently because it's very volatile and unsure. But on a qualitative basis, what would you see for 2025 in the current point of time for the two segments?
Well, I do see an interesting environment for us in training, for our business, but also for activities in a B2B market situation where other training companies are potentially struggling. So maybe there are some opportunities here. So a positive outlook generally, and the outlook in training is not really affected by the point in time where you will have a change in the overall sentiment, because the B2G is a anti-cyclical business, and the unemployment is expected to increase first, and the most established and accepted countermeasure here for the Federal Employment Agency is to do some expenditure on subsidized trainings. So here we should participate. The B2C market is not really affected by the cycle, so it's kind of neutral in terms of exposure to the cycle. And the B2B business is small, so here we are more focusing on maybe start some inorganic growth initiatives. If it is buy or build, we will see. In staffing, I do think that we are very well prepared to use any market opportunity we will see next year, when that will be, as you mentioned. Very hard to project. So the normal productivity level of the staffing organization in a normal business environment would deliver much higher sales or gross profit than it currently does. They are working on a high number of requests, but the conversion is simply at a level which we haven't seen, well, I would say now for 15 years. So here we have an opportunity. There is an opportunity, but this will depend on the underlying sentiment. As long as this will last, we will be very cautious in terms of spending. The measurements, as I mentioned, are in place. They will affect next year's OPEX because we started it already throughout that year. So the year-on-year effect will be visible. This would be the statement.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
As a reminder, anyone who wishes to ask a question may click the Q&A button and the raise your hand button on the left side of your screen or press star 1 at this time. And we do have one follow-up question from Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. Please go ahead. Mr. Wolf, your line is open. Unfortunately, we cannot hear you right now. I'm very sorry, Mr. Wolf, we cannot hear you. So, as there are no further questions, I would now like to turn the conference back over to Robert von Wülfing for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much. We will see, or we can listen to each other now on a regular basis through that channel. On top, I would like to point out what you see here in our financial calendar, that we will be on the road and will be available also in Frankfurt end of November at the Eigenkapital Forum if someone is interested in meeting us in person. On top, IR is available at any time. And I do say thanks for listening to us. Thanks for following Amadeus Fire, being interested in our business model. And together with all of you, I do hope for some better times, especially in Germany. So thank you very much and goodbye.